Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show this morning. Today, we're meeting with franchise consultant Tom Scarta. And Tom Scarta is a regular guy who left the 9-to-5 world, promise of a pension, and a gold watch to explore his desire to follow his dreams to become an entrepreneur. If you're having a problem deciding if franchising is for you or how to make the transition from a 9-to-5 workday to owning your own destiny, Tom is certainly the person to talk to. Learning about Tom's firsthand experience with franchising will give you an insight into how you can realize your dreams too. And that's coming up in segment 2 of Franchise Interviews. Our first segment today is being brought to you by Franchise Interviews LLC, and Franchise Interviews gives you an up-close and behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, Franchise Interviews, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear and read interviews with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and franchise attorneys. And our monthly franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. And don't forget to check out our new podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. And Don, welcome back to another edition of Franchise Interviews. How's your week going, my friend?
Week's fine, Marty. Going well. It's a beautiful day. Summertime.
It sure is.
Summer's flying by. It's halfway through August already. How about your week?
It's going well. I can feel traces of fall. You know, I was talking to Connie this morning. You know, you can feel that slight thing in the air. You know what I mean? Where fall
right.
is coming. So, yeah, weather's been beautiful here in Pennsylvania. You know, it's not too hot.
Right.
So, yeah, looking forward to fall, though. I know you're a big fall guy as well.
My favorite time of the year. Yeah, next week I'm going up
here.
The mountains a little bit. I'll get a little bit of that cooler air. And
that's right.
That's
a lot of fun. Our last show, Don, we got to meet with Mr. Kelly Grace, Vice President of Franchise Development for 1-800-RADIATOR. And 1-800-RADIATOR is one of the fastest-growing franchises in North America. 1-800-RADIATOR delivers brand-new radiators within 2 to 3 hours to its local customers and next day to customers outside the same day area. Thought it was a very interesting franchise concept. What were your thoughts on the last show?
Yeah, he was very informative, Marty.
He was.
Nice to have on a very interesting franchise. We didn't really know much about them. They're real niche business, and
they sure
I think you brought up the point. There's over 220 million cars throughout the country, and
right,
a percentage is going to break down or need their type of service, and
that's true.
And I think he mentioned with the way the economy is now, and a down economy, I guess there's a chance less people might be buying new cars. So with more older cars
makes
on the
lot
road,
of sense.
There's just a chance that things might be happening for the service they provide, and just pretty interesting. It's not the type of franchise you hear an automotive franchise. You think you're going to be in a garage all day, but they just look for someone with management experience, and it's more a distribution type of service. They don't really need anybody with that type of background. I thought that was very interesting, and the profit margins are well, and they
right.
have mostly the whole country sold out, don't they? Pretty much.
They sure do. Yeah, I think I'm not sure how many territories. I think it's like 20 to 30 territories left. I think within the U.S. And I probably suspect on that might be sold out by the end of the year at the way they're going. 1-800-RADIATOR was ranked number 37 by Entrepreneur as one of the fastest growing franchises. So you can see the growth has just been. And Kelly has seen it. I think he's been with the company, as you mentioned, like 4 years now.
Right.
You know, to actually just witness that growth, you know, to be part of something like that, I think is really something special. But I like how you mentioned the market is pretty big, you know, and people are keeping their cars longer today. He mentioned that, and I didn't know this, that people have to change their radiators, I guess, after, 7 to 8 years?
Right.
Which does leave a pretty big market. Last year, $6 million $6 million radiators were replaced each year,
right,
making that a $6 billion market. So that's pretty significant.
Right.
Now, and again, these guys have a niche in that market. And it's not a difficult sale. I don't think it is. You know, I mean, it
right.
seems fairly simple if you think about it. I mean, you're not going to get a very long time to pitch your product. I mean, again, you're going
right.
into, you know, automotive stations, and I suspect you're making a 30-second to 1-minute pitch. And
we're going on a long trip. Your heating or air conditioning's not working. I mean, that's
right.
a must. You're not. You know, you're definitely going to get that fixed. You're not going to.
Absolutely. And it was interesting because I guess many of their franchisees, Don, he was mentioning, they have diverse backgrounds, don't they?
Right.
I think some of them come from corporate America, and, it's not your typical person that you may think, you know, where someone just wants to get into the automotive
right.
industry. So
yeah, we've done a lot of shows where it's typical that it's a family business gets built up and then a new owner comes along and buys it and really takes it up to a whole nother level.
Absolutely.
Just what happened with 1-800-Radiator, same thing happened.
Yeah, absolutely. And the technology, too, you know, how they're one of the questions we've been asking on our recent shows is, you know, how do you utilize technology? And they're using it for their e-catalogs and, you know, all sorts of things. They have all this information on their customers, you know, so it really is quite
incredible.
It seems
like that's what's separating them from their competition.
Oh, absolutely, you know. So just a very interesting show. And he was very passionate, too, wasn't he? I mean, he was...
Yeah.
You know, and you like to hear that, you know, when you know, these guys come on the show and, you know, you hear their passion for the company, you know, they do kind
right.
of get you excited. And I was, you know, quite honestly, I was unfamiliar with 1-800-Radiator. And I'm saying that wrong, too. I think I'm using my New York accent. My wife was saying, too. She's like, she says radiator. I think you say radiator.
Right. Yeah, I say it correctly,
I guess.
Yeah.
You do. Okay. There you go. You know, so I'd like to have him back on a future show. You know, he was a fantastic guest and just a you know, a great franchise. So what do we have going on today and over the next, 5 months?
A lot of stuff going on today. Like you mentioned, beginning of the show, Tom Skarda.
I'm excited about that. Tom's a New York guy.
Consultant. Yeah, definitely. Local. I used to own a Maui Wowie Fresh Hawaiian Blends franchise for a couple years. Was even a franchisee of the year. I was just reading some things about him. In 2003, took on the role of Director of Regional Support, Greater New York Area. So he'll go over his whole background, tell us about what he's doing and how he's helping.
It's an inspirational story, Don, too. You know, I'm looking forward to Tom talking about his background, you know, because I could certainly relate to it. I have a lot of family that actually works for the city of New York, you know, and, you know, I think typically with them it's the same thing, you know. They're doing it because they want the pension, you know, and I think Tom wanted more than that, you know, and he achieved all his dreams, so that was fantastic.
Definitely. Next week we're going to replay a show of some of the past authors we've had on the show, including the great Michael Gerber, also Joel Ababa, Julie Bennett, Joe Matthews.
That's right.
Had them all on in the past, so
that's going to be a good
3-hour show.
It's long.
Packed with great franchise information from some great writers and, you know, great people in business. On the 28th, Marty, Navis Pack and Ship. Got to know them
fun.
A little bit, a packing and shipping franchise. September 4th, Dr. Scott Shane. He wrote a recent book, The Illusions of Entrepreneurship.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun having him on the show. He's very similar, Don, to Michael Gerber, you know, in his philosophy. You know, there's some similarities. So I think you're going to enjoy having him on the
show. He's also a top and leading expert in entrepreneurial activity in the U.S. So look forward to that. September 4th, September 11th, Brian Spindle, PostNet franchise.
That's right, yeah.
And then we have another 4 or 5 shows lined up through October, and so just a lot of good stuff coming up.
Yeah, going to be very busy, but a lot of great stuff. And again, slowly approaching that 100th show mark, which is going to be like around the third week of November, you know, which we're not going to talk too much about now, but we have a lot of exciting guests already booked for that show. So
my birthday's around that time, so maybe the first half of the show will be just honoring my birthday, the second half.
We'll have Michael Gerber sing happy birthday to you. How many people can say that, right?
Yeah. Best birthday ever.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know you had some interesting articles as well. There was a lot in the news this week, wasn't there, Don, as far as different topics on franchising and all that other stuff?
Yeah, a couple quick stories here. Here's something, the Wall Street Journal. Pizza delivery expands in China. I thought this was interesting because that's the focus, you know, around the world right now with the Olympics going on there in Beijing. I've been watching a little bit of that. It's been pretty exciting.
Right.
This is by Andrew Edwards. It says, restaurant giant Yum Brands, Inc. is betting that as China's expanding middle class continues to demand more of the typical Western middle class lifestyle, consumers will develop a taste for one of America's favorite convenience foods, pizza, and being delivered. Pizza delivery, common in the U.S., of course, is a new concept in China. That's why I'm kind of reading this article, too. I thought something like pizza delivery was pretty common in a lot of different countries, but not in China.
Right, you think it would be, yeah, but just China right now is just, as you said, you know, I mean, it's exploding. It's funny you're reading this article because on CNN the other night they had this whole special on McDonald's and how they're growing in China. And I mean, they're just opening up. It's like a restaurant, like I think similar to the old statistic, like 1 out of every 10 minutes or something like that. It's really incredible, the growth that's taking place in China.
It's also incredible how these franchisors have to adapt to these different countries. They have to kind of change things up a little bit, the menu, the style, whatever. but says with pizza delivery common in the U.S., not in China, where dining out has long been seen as a form of conspicuous consumption. As a result, until recently, Yum! Had focused on positioning its Pizza Hut locations as a five-star experience with a three-star price that would attract Chinese consumers looking for a night on the town. So it's a pretty interesting story them. Here's something, Marty, about Marble Slab announces expansion into Mexico. This is out of QSR Magazine. Marble Slab Creamery announced today that it will start a new international franchise venture in Mexico. The franchise agreement will allow Marble Slab to continue to expand its reach and provide gourmet products to a growing number of countries. We know Marble Slab is part of the NextGen brands with several other concepts.
Right.
The initial agreement calls for a minimum of 35 stores to open over the next 20 years throughout the country. The first store is scheduled to open in early 2009. It says here, operating principal Julian Reyes Cuevas is confident the Marble Slab will be a welcome addition to the area and that its high-quality products will appeal to the Mexico market. Cuevas' interest in the brand began when he visited his first Marble Slab store while living in the States. Shortly after, Cuevas and his family began working with Colin Fitzpatrick, franchise development manager for NextGen Franchise Management, to develop the brand in Mexico. He says Julian's patience and commitment to the process of negotiating and executing this agreement is indicative of the caliber of the partner he will be for the Mexico market. It seems like it makes a lot of sense. It's a warmer climate type country.
That's true.
The premium ice cream brand will probably have a lot of success down there.
Right. It makes a lot of sense. Absolutely. That's interesting. Yeah. Those franchises do so well too, Don. At the as you're reading the article, I was thinking of like the International Franchise Expo that we go to every year. You know, and the visitors or the aspiring entrepreneurs are really from all over. You know, the world, not just the United States, you know, and those ice cream franchises.
Right, international activity. In the
There's a lot of international activity there, you know, and you just see those booths, you know, like the Marble Slabs and all the ice cream franchises, and people just seem to really dig that type of concept for their country, you know, so very interesting.
Something, Marty, out of Information Week. Small, mid-sized firms to spend $280 billion on technology by 2012. It's by Casey Jones. It says information and communications technology spending will increase among small and mid-sized businesses, but it will be affected by the current economic crunch, according to research from Compass Intelligence. America is facing very serious economic conditions, which will not change overnight, says Necco Burney, president and CEO of Compass Intelligence, in a prepared statement. This means that businesses, large and small, will need to become more efficient and innovate if they are to survive the current crunch. A new five-part series of reports called Economy 2.0, New Challenges and Opportunities in Business, ICT Spending, predicts that small and mid-sized firms will increase their ICT spending, and ICT is information and communications technology, spending by 6% to 8% annually through 2012. Those firms could present communication technology vendors with the most opportunity for revenue growth since they are expected to increase ICT spending the fastest. And it says here, Marty, this year U.S. businesses are forecast to spend $688 billion on ICT services, equipment outsourcing, and personnel, according to the report. Managed and hosted services, wireless, and some networking will grow the fastest between 2008 and 2012, according to Compass Intelligence.
Wow, that's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, businesses with 5 to 99 employees will represent 32% of ICT spending this year. By 2012, they will spend nearly $280 billion, according to the report.
Oh, that's incredible. It's just...
we've just been talking about technology. We've added that question in a lot to the question.
And it's a fun question to talk about, you know, is how franchisors are using technology. And many of them are just, I mean, getting really creative. I don't know if you remember this, Don, but we were speaking about the restaurant franchises a couple months back, you know, how they're actually calling your cell phone, you know. So if you go, I know in Jersey, you know, a lot of times you'll have to wait to go into a restaurant, you know, because it's so crowded. Well, right. What they're doing now is they're actually calling your cell phone, you know, so you can actually go walking around and, you know, have someone call your cell phone and say, hi, Mr. Johnson, your table's ready. You know, I mean, it's just really incredible what a lot of them are doing, you know. It's something.
And we just, of course, met last week with 1-800-Radiator that, you know, technology was a major with a big difference.
There was another one, too. I don't know if you remember For Refuel, you know, when we were talking to those guys, how they were using technology. It was really quite amazing how they can tell if a delivery truck is going too fast, you know, how long they're sitting at a stoplight. I mean, all these crazy, you know, things, facts and figures that they're getting from a computer is just it's really overwhelming. So, and it's also exciting at the same time.
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting. Here's something, Franchise Times Magazine by Michael Said. Patriots Act, franchising welcomes veterans home. This has been a common theme on our shows, talking about veterans investing in franchise ownership. I thought this article was pretty interesting. Question to Michael Said is, I'm a Marine currently serving in Iraq and will be rotating back to the United States at the end of the year. I read about VetFran on the Department of Veterans Affairs mm-hmm. website. What can I expect with VetFran, and who's benefited from it? He goes on, he says, the International Franchise Association started VetFran during the first Gulf War, and after going dark for a period, it was reinstated after 9/11. Franchisors provide veterans of the armed forces and Coast Guard financial benefits, including a lower franchise fee, should they become franchisees when they return to civilian life. In addition, the VetFran program includes financial aid to help veterans pay for some of the franchise startup costs and also college scholarships for those who choose to return to school. Cynics might describe VetFran as just another way for franchisors to recruit new franchisees, but talk to any of the 350 franchisors who participate in the program, mm-hmm. you'll find a more compelling purpose for their investment. Military service provides candidates who are already trained to become good franchisees. Military personnel understand the need to be dedicated to a mission. They've been trained to continually work to improve performance, and they understand what it means to be part of a team. Are able to lead when asked and know the importance of following the rules. There's no better training ground than serving in the military to learn the skills needed to be a great franchisee. Through VetFran, more than 1,100 servicemen and women have been awarded franchisees, and more are being added every day. Each participating franchise or structure is offering a little differently. Most reduce their initial franchise fees. Some reduce their franchisees' initial investment, and others make arrangements with lenders or leasing companies for preferential terms. Many provide support programs through additional training, headquarters and field support, and mentoring programs. And here's a few examples of that, Marty. Dunkin' Donuts offers 20% off initial franchise fee in new store development. TCBY gets 50% off the initial franchise fee. It says here Meineke Car Care offers a 25% discount. The Dwyer Group, which I think has had a lot of background history with the VetFran program, has different discounts depending on the brand. Mr. Appliance reduces the franchise fee by almost $4,000, Mr. Electric by almost $5,000, and Mr. Reuter Plumbing by about $5,600.
Right, right. And Dina Dwyer, I think she actually runs that that organization. I think she's the chairman of VetFran, Don. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's fantastic. Have you had a lot of experience with VetFran yet?
Yes. Well, you have? We speak to a lot of people during the course of the month of, you know, who's been in the military. So they're asking about the program, and so we go over some of the positives of it, and it, you know, definitely helps.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think it's a fantastic thing, you know, and I guess, you know, this is one of the things I've mentioned on previous shows. You know, when I go back for my doctorate's degree, this is the topic that I would like to address is, you know, one is, do people from the military make better franchisees? And I'm under the assumption that they do, you know, and I could be totally wrong, but, you know, a lot of the things that you mentioned, you know, leadership, and I think the biggest key factor is the ability to follow a system, you know, and not decipher from that system, you know, say, this is how it's done, you know, just do it this way, and if you do, you'll become successful, you know, and there's some people out there, there's probably a lot of people out there that just are not meant to be franchisees, you know, and I'm sure Tom will talk a little bit about that as well. You know, people being sometimes so entrepreneurial that they want to reinvent the wheel, you know.
Right.
So
it's interesting comparison, the person with the military background compared to someone with a lot of business experience, ownership, and skills.
What works
better?
I'm sure
there are pros and cons on both sides, but you're right, yeah, which works better is an interesting topic.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think it's a great organization. I mean, everything that I've ever heard about VetFran, you know, I don't think I don't believe there's any ulterior motive at all, you know. I mean, I think it's just a way of giving back to the military. And by the way, it could be any war. I mean, it could be the Korean conflict. It could be World War One, World War Two. It doesn't have to be, you know, the most recent one, you know. So it's really good for any veteran right. that would like to take advantage of this. We had a, I don't know if you remember this, this is going way back, Miami Rice Pudding. I don't know if they're part of VetFran, but I remember Ken McEvey, he was actually waiving the franchise fee for any veterans.
Right.
You know, so I just thought that that was really generous, you know, to do something
right.
like that. It's just showing appreciation for
it's a great,
you know,
yeah, great program for what they do. The article goes on a little bit to, it's important to understand that some of those franchisors participating in VetFran are mature brands with strong track records, while others may be newly emerging concepts and may not have the same level of support or history of success. Simply selecting a VetFran franchisor member is not a guarantee that the opportunity is right for you or that you will be successful. As with any franchise, you need to conduct your own evaluation before making your decision. Due diligence is just as important here as with the non-VetFran offerings.
Right.
Good point. So, here's something Marty stated recently. DQ CEO pushing for same look at something different chain. We've kind of been on this ice cream kick lately. I just mentioned Marble Slab. And,
well, July was National Ice Cream Month, so.
Right. And, of course, having Baskin-Robbins, you know, just a national brand with a lot of history. This is by John Vomhoff out of the Minneapolis St. Paul Business Journal. The first challenge for Dairy Queen's new CEO is an old one, convincing franchisees to update the chain's aging stores. John Gaynor, who took the helm July 1, believes the DQ Grill and Chill and DQ Orange Julius Treat Center concepts will help rejuvenate the 68-year-old restaurant chain and differentiate between the various store offerings. Many franchisees, however, say the remodels cost too much and don't result in higher sales. Yeah, kind of an interesting article here. At issue is the divide between the company's older Dairy Queen and Brazier locations. Has that Brazier, B-R-A-Z-I-E-R. That's also been around for years with them.
Right, right.
Which Gaynor believes have inconsistent offerings that are confusing to customers, and its new brands, DQ Grill and Chill and DQ Orange Julius Treat Center. Both new stores are self-descriptive. The first offers a full menu of hot food in addition to the company's trademark desserts and other focuses exclusively on desserts. For Gaynor, the change is needed. When a customer sees a Dairy Queen sign and walks into a restaurant, they may not know what they can order in that restaurant.
Interesting.
He said, what we're trying to do is establish roadside clarity.
Right.
And it seems like that's what franchising is all about, of course. You want to get the same product and service whether you're in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, or out in California.
Mm-hmm.
I can see the CEO's
right.
purpose of trying to get everybody on the same page.
Right.
But at issue is a lot of older franchisees. And, yeah, I mean, let's face it, the economy's a little rough right now, and there's a lot, you know, heavy cost involved with upgrading your store.
Oh, absolutely. And we spoke about this, I mean, for the last 2 years. I mean, there's a lot of franchisors jumping on this bandwagon of updating or modernizing their brand, I should say. I think Kentucky Fried Chicken was one of them, weren't they, Don? They actually added, like, jukeboxes to KFC. And I'm here, I'm dating myself. I'm saying Kentucky Fried Chicken, KFC,
right.
you know, adding, you know, all these modern features to their restaurant. And I don't think they gave their franchisees a choice. I think they said, you have to do this, you know, otherwise I'm not sure what the deal was.
Right.
But, yeah, you know, Dairy Queen is, I mean, when I think of Dairy Queen, I think of that older brand, you know, that I used to go to when I was a little kid, you know. So,
right.
Yeah, I think it's time.
It says Dairy Queen expects 13 to 14%, but it's more than 5,600 stores to be DQ Grill and Chills by the end of 08. There'll be more than 100 remodels in 08 and even more in 09. Aging restaurant concepts like Dairy Queen need to find ways to stay current, says Bob Golden, Executive VP of Chicago-based restaurant consultancy Technomic, Inc. You have to do something. You can't stand still. I think looking at some ways to contemporize the business and energize it would pay off. And it says here, Gaynor believes the DQ Grill and Chill, launched by its predecessor, Chuck Moody, will help attract new customers and lead to increased sales.
Mm-hmm.
It says wherever franchisees are investing money to remodel their stores, we're seeing good return on investment with same-store growth and increased profitability. Some franchisees aren't buying that. Harris Cooper, Executive VP of the of Dairy Queen Operators Association, argues that the updated concepts are not performing as well as the company contends. His association represents about 1,500 of the Dairy Queen franchisees.
Wow.
So there's kind of back and forth here. I guess it's something that we'll have to keep an eye on, see how this plays out a little bit.
those are the benefits of competition too. You know, I mean, you and I were interviewed on this topic, you know, and I mentioned, you know, how there's almost 3,000 franchise systems today, and, you know, that some people are upset with that, you know, that they say everyone's getting into, you know, the franchising arena. But I think it's making a lot of these other franchisors, I would say, let's say the older franchisors, work harder, as you say, you know what I mean,
right.
to update and modernize their brands. So I think it's a great thing that's happening, you know, seeing
right.
all these different changes. So
this
that's fantastic.
This was even a lawsuit in Michigan, but it was dismissed, but I think they're thinking of taking it back to court. The issue
oh, really?
Is whether or not the company has the right to insist that franchisees go into a new concept
right.
That has proven to be unsuccessful, if not dead. It's a live issue that we feel very strongly about, so
wow.
this is pretty interesting. I imagine on...
Powerful.
You know, this is always, you know, this is going to be a story probably we're always going to be seeing with
right.
Maybe older franchise systems, and they're looking to modernize, but, you know, there's a price for that.
Absolutely. That's
so.
Great. Those are good articles. Well, today, as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show. We're meeting with franchise consultant Tom Scarta. And Tom is, as we were mentioning, a regular guy who left the 9-to-5 world, promise of a pension and a gold watch to explore his desire to follow his dreams to be an entrepreneur. And for our listeners, if you're having a problem deciding if franchising is for you or how to make the transition from a 9-to-5 workday to owning your own destiny, Tom is certainly the person that you want to talk to. So good morning, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, Tom. Tom, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson, and I know you wanted to say hi to Tom, Don.
Yeah, Tom, thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it. I hope your summer's going well. And do you always like being referred to as just a regular guy?
Hey, Don, yeah. Well, thanks for having me on, first of all. It's an honor, and it's a pleasure.
Thanks, Tom.
And, yeah, this is great.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah, Tom, we always like to start off asking our guests where you're calling from today.
I'm in Long Island, as they say.
You are in Long Island. I detected a little New York accent there.
That's
fantastic.
I was born and raised in New York City in Brooklyn.
Oh, great.
And we're out here on Long Island with the kids and
that's great.
Putting them through the suburban education system, I guess.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, Don and I both have roots from Brooklyn as well. I was born in Brooklyn, Tom. And Don, your dad is from Brooklyn, isn't he?
Right. Exactly.
You know,
yeah, he grew up in Brooklyn on Flatbush Avenue and been telling his stories our whole lives.
Yeah, yeah. You know, most of my family is still there, Tom, and, you know, they reminded me a lot of your story, you know, because most of them work for the city, you know, and the reason that they work for the city is the pension, you know, as you said, you know, and they're not very, I hope they're not listening because they'll kill me, but they're not very inspired, I think, you know, with their jobs, you know, so... you know, we really appreciated your story, you know. One of the questions we're excited to ask you, Tom, is how did you get involved in franchising?
Well, going back to the civil service mentality, I was working for New York City Transit Subway System for about 13 years, and I kind of got a little fed up with the bureaucracy and the nonsense and that non-ambition that civil
right.
servants typically have.
Yes.
I had an entrepreneurial itch. You know, I could tell you all sorts of stories about people saying, no, you got to do things a transit way, you know, slow down.
Right.
Well, don't walk so fast, you know, it's so funny.
Exactly.
Right.
And so this frustrated me, and I knew I wanted to
right.
be an entrepreneur, didn't know how, didn't know where to start, and so I contacted a consulting firm that matched mm-hmm. me with a smoothie company, and I took the plunge. My whole family, my friends were beside themselves. They said, you know, you're leaving this perfect position with the promise of a pension, and, you know, you could be, you know, making, you know, $40,000 a year in a pension when you retire, and
exactly.
that would just really frustrate me. And I said, you know what, I want to make $40,000 a minute. How
right.
about that?
There you go.
That's especially in Long Island. It's an exaggeration, but just like really anywhere in the country, but especially certain parts like New York, make a certain amount to have a decent living.
Right, right. Well, just the electric rate on Long Island is the highest rate in the country
mm-hmm.
outside of Hawaii.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah. No, I do believe it actually. Yeah. And you were very successful at franchising. Too, Tom. I mean, as Don and I were reading your bio earlier on in the show, I saw that you were Maui Wowie's Franchisee of the Year, you know, and what did you attribute all that to, all that success with that franchise?
And to put it in New York terms, I say it was chutzpah. I wanted to make something successful. And I,
right.
First of all, I believe because I used a consulting firm, they matched me so well.
Right.
It fit all my skills. So I hit the ground running. But I always said, I don't care what happens. I'm going to sell smoothies. I don't care if it's on the corner of 42nd and 8th. I'm selling.
Right.
You know, I'll pull up the cart and I'll say, I'm going to sell. And that's, it was just having that kind of, I guess, blind ambition. Just I
like that whole attitude, like failure is not an option. Is you know, is really that whole.
Right,
I mean, you had a lot of drive, you know, starting up that business.
Right, you have to have the drive. And in 2000, no one knew what smoothies were in New York. Really, there was no one selling smoothies. Now it's I don't know what the numbers are. It's in a multi-billion-dollar category these days.
Right.
Everybody's getting into smoothies from Starbucks to, you know, Dunkin' Donuts and all the way down the road. But back then, nobody knew it, and people were saying, you know, my dad, for instance, the quintessential former New York City cop, said, you know, nobody's going to buy frozen drinks in New York.
Right.
That's crazy.
Right.
And what was funny is that we ended up getting a spot. It was like a blessing from God that we got into the Jacob Javits Convention Center in Manhattan.
Wow.
Their strong season is the winter. And if you ever walked around the convention center, which I know all of you guys have,
it gets
real dry,
right.
You know, from the ventilation system. So people were buying smoothies like mad,
wow.
And that's really what put us in our very first year into the number one spot in gross numbers out of 200 units.
That's fantastic. Were you surprised, Tom, that that's what you were matched up with, you know, when you were going through the whole franchise consulting process, that they came back to you and said, you know what? You would do very well with this type of franchise.
I wasn't that surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like I was very comfortable with it. Actually,
right,
It was, it just seemed like the right thing. But it was also explained to me that it was, you know, we're not going to come back to you with a lot of things that you know of because if you know of them, that means they're already in your neighborhood, and you're not going to be able to open up that concept.
That's true. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's real interesting, Tom, you know, and what you're doing now, and you went through the whole process yourself, so I guess that's why you're having success now with FranChoice, because you saw it, you know, worked for yourself. Like, even though, you know, the failure was not an option, I mean, you must have had, I mean, you know, just starting up a new business. It was your first time owning a business when you start up the Maui Wowie, right?
That's correct, yes.
So what was going through your, you know, thought process then? I guess you were just... You had some peace of mind knowing you were working with a specialist in franchising, which gave you some confidence, and you know, starting up a business maybe wasn't as, you know, nervous to you because of that. Is that was you know, the whole mindset you know, going in, Tom?
Yeah, and it's a coincidence. I don't know if, you know, one of your former interviewees, Carol Mercurio, who I
mm-hmm.
think you know, was actually my consultant back in 2000.
Oh, wow. She's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's very, very cool. She helped me out greatly in this process. And said, you know, really, really set me up to have my mindset in the right frame of mind, I guess. And we, you know, dove into the investigation process, but also the franchise company was very helpful. They were very forthcoming with their information, really told us what it was going to be all about, and said to us, you know, this is not signing a franchise agreement and then becoming a millionaire. You know, this, like a lot of people join a gym, they think just by signing the gym agreement they're going to lose weight. You got to go to the gym. You got to
right,
work.
Right.
You got to.
So she's very good in you know, getting that information across to you. She probably taught you a few new things about yourself you didn't know because of
right.
her, you know, analysis and depth that, you know, your company goes into when you're speaking to a prospect, right?
Exactly. It was a soul-searching experience. I use that phrase every day. I experienced it myself. And now I take my candidates through that same soul-searching experience where, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, I love donuts. Let me open up a donut franchise. That's just a silly thing to do. That's not a good business decision. Or somebody will say, you know, there is no whatever in my neighborhood, so I think I should open one. And you should be buying a franchise based on what's good for you, not for the neighborhood.
Right.
True.
Yeah, so maybe talk about... Tom, what types of characteristics you think make a good franchisee? I mean, you go through that whole process. You probably know pretty quickly whether someone's a pretty good match or not. But what are some of the top characteristics that make people successful?
Well, there are two very delineating points. Either you're an extrovert or an introvert. And just because you're an introvert doesn't mean that you're not a good franchisee. It just means that you may not want to be the kind of guy who's out drumming up your own business, and you might want something where it's more back office for you. So First we kind of figure that out. But you have to have a lot of self-confidence. You have to be able to know that you can be a success. And people don't realize, even if they're, you know, 30, 40, 50 years old in a corporate job, they're successful to where they're at.
Right.
And then they have to open up their comfort zone and get to the next level. A lot of people are afraid of that. So you have to be a little bit fearless,
right.
Be willing to take a leap of faith and know that you can do it, because you'll never find a concept that you're 100% in love with. There's always a little something missing. It, and I kind of use the analogy of when you're buying a house. You might find the perfect house in the perfect neighborhood, but there's probably something wrong. You might not have the right windows that you want or whatever, and you have to learn to live with it, get into it, and then fix it and work with it.
Right.
So you have to do that. But as far as characteristics go, it's really the yearning and the want to really make a change for your future. And not everybody's cut out to be a franchisee or a business owner. And, you know, we do need great people running, you know, great civil service systems or what have you. But, you know, for me personally, I could just speak from personal experience. I was successful in transit. I moved very quickly up the line, but then realized that, you know, when I looked at the vice president and the president of transit, they weren't living in the houses I wanted to live in or driving the cars I wanted to drive,
right. But
business owners were. So if you got that drive, you can do it. And, of course, that's not for everybody. People are sometimes fine with a very simple lifestyle, and that's great. But I think you need to have the drive, and more than that, you need to have the vision, and you need to be a goal setter. You need to know what your goals are.
That's a good point, knowing what the goal is. Because that's what I was just going to ask you, Tom. What's mostly motivating people who utilize your services today? I mean, obviously, probably a common answer is they want the freedom, be on their own. Is it making more money? Is it spending more time with the family? What are some of the big, you know, motivation, things that's going on now?
Well, unfortunately, right now, it's a lot of people just plainly getting laid off and can't get a job that was paying the same thing.
Right.
So that is not a good reason really to get into business. You really need, you know, if you really want to be have that steady paycheck and you're comfortable with that, you really need to find a job, even if it's for less money. But aside from that, yes, it's controlling your own destiny, building, you know, a good equity in a business to retire from.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people say, well, I need to make $100,000 a year. And, you know, first year, there's not too many businesses that you'll put $100,000 in your pocket. But
right.
You need to look at a business from an objective standpoint in that there's so many advantages to owning a business that are legal tax write-offs. So if you're running your cell phone through your business, that needs to come off and go into your bottom line, actually. So a lot of folks will tell you, I didn't make any money the first year. But, in fact, when you look at the stuff that they were legally able to write off,
right.
They actually make $50,000. And the guy who made $100,000 after taxes, blah, 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 he really only took home $65,000 or $70,000. So it's not that far off when
right.
You really think about it. And then in 3 years, the guy who started a business and followed the system now has a business that's worth $1 million, let's say, that he invested $100,000 into. And the guy who has $100,000 a job with a five-year increase every year is now making $113,000 and has nothing to show for it.
Right.
So when you really think about it, you're really buying equity and building equity. The same reason why probably both you, Marty and Don, have purchased houses.
Right.
It's much easier to just rent an apartment. You can live anywhere you want.
True.
But at the end of the day, you don't own anything.
True.
Right. Good point.
That's an interesting point. What are some? I was going to say, Tom, what are some of the services provided by your company? I know you do a lot of different things. You do a lot of public speaking on a lot of great topics, which Don and I would like to have you come back on the show eventually and talk about things like motivation. What are some of the services that you actually do?
As far as FranChoice, do you mean?
Yeah, as far as FranChoice, and I guess anything in general that our listeners might be interested in.
Well, you know, in the world of franchise, I help people, you know, obviously find the right franchise based on their skills and personality.
Right.
One of the biggest things is to get them to understand themselves and really kind of face their fears. So whether it's in franchising or if I'm just working with a company doing, you know, a keynote speech,
mm-hmm.
it's trying to get people to understand that the thoughts that they were brought up with are maybe not the best ideas to have going forward to help them expand themselves in their career or in their business or what have you.
Right.
So I work a lot with fear and anxiety and trying to unwind for people their everything that, you know, their teachers and preachers and parents have told us because they love us, but they're scared for us. They're afraid that we're, you know, everything is coming from the perspective of loss. You know,
exactly.
Don't lose this, don't lose that. But if you can get past not worrying about loss and look at look at gain and mm-hmm. what you could have instead of what you might lose,
right.
your whole life turns around.
Absolutely. That's the whole is the glass half full or half empty
right.
scenario, I guess.
Well, it is that, but we are, you know, all of us are, it's so beat into our heads every day, you know, oh my goodness, be careful. You know, what did your mom always say to you when you left your house every day on the way to school? Be careful.
Be careful, yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Wouldn't it be better if mom said, be bold, learn something, have fun?
That's true, yeah. And did you have that experience, Tom? Is that what happened to you? I guess, you know, growing up as a kid, you know, coming from, you know, the Northeast or that background.
Yeah, especially with my dad being a cop and my
right.
wife also. My wife was a New York City police sergeant, just retired last year. So
wow.
I grew up with this whole police mentality where
right.
the world is really dangerous. Be careful. Look over your shoulder. Every corner, you don't know what you're going to run into. And then all of a sudden you take that into your life. Whether it's, you know, when you get into business and it's, oh my goodness, who's going to try to rip me off? You know,
right.
who's stealing from me? Who's doing this? You know, and you spend your days worrying instead of saying, oh,
mm-hmm.
how can I get my business to the next level?
That's interesting. But I suspect you're different with your children. I know you have two kids, you know,
yeah.
so you have a different philosophy than your parents had, you know, and I guess Don and I will have different philosophies with our kids as well, you know, than what our parents taught us, you know. So it is. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, my daughter starts college in 7 days from
wow,
today.
Congratulations. That's fantastic. It's,
so are you
going
to tell her, Tom, to be careful as you drop her off? And what are you going to say to her as you're dropping her off at the campus?
No, I'm going to tell her to be bold. Have fun.
Exactly.
You know, do what you want. Experience life.
Right.
And don't hurt anyone. That's all.
Exactly.
You know, we're meant to be. We're put on this planet to experience life,
mm-hmm.
and so many people are afraid to actually experience life, and they don't. You know, oh, let me just get a job. Let me you know collect this little nest egg so I can
right.
retire someday to Florida, and that might be good for some people, but it's, you know,
not
there's so
everybody.
Much more, and you know, and it's kind of goes back to the theory of relativity, you know. God kind of made this universe to experience himself as God.
Right.
And you got to know what you're not to know who you are. And that's what we'll talk about. I think next time we're on the show, we'll get real
Absolutely.
Deep about how to experience life and why
yeah,
we're
it's
here.
A great topic, yeah.
And how to reach your potential. And I guess you made that, you know, decision at some time. You just don't want to settle for, say, being average, so to speak.
Right,
and,
right. And
yeah. And I guess your parents, like many of our parents, you know, being more on the conservative side, but you saw
mm-hmm.
yourself as doing, you know, bigger and better things, I guess, and just wanted to reach your own potential. And I guess, obviously, you know, you're in the perfect position for what you're doing right now, because obviously,
right.
besides educating people on which franchise system might be a right fit, I mean, you know what you're doing, obviously, is also motivating people, trying to give them the confidence that they could do it if you
mm-hmm.
feel that they'll be good, you know, for franchising. So,
right,
yeah.
Yeah, and I probably imagine this will make you a great consultant too, Tom, is because you have that, you know, background, you know, to say as you, you know, in your bio, like a regular guy, you know, I think people probably relate to you maybe a little better than some other consultants, you know, that may be out there.
Well, that is probably true, and I do want to say that that's probably one of my strong points, which makes me, you know, a leader within the franchise organization.
Right.
But I love to you know, disseminate to my colleagues how great they can be too, and use
right.
their experience to make them the perfect consultant for their candidates as well.
Exactly.
I think that there's a lot to be said for my experience, as you know, what you said earlier, as a regular guy,
mm-hmm.
I could relate to a candidate and I can relate to an audience. Because I never walked on the moon, I never played in a Super Bowl, I never drove a race car,
right.
but I left the corporate environment to follow my dreams, and it's been a success. I mean, I was semi-retired at 41 years old, so there's a lot to be said for that.
Yeah, no, it's very inspirational.
People love those stories.
Oh, absolutely.
Marty and I read those on our shows a lot. We'll tell a story about a friend. We've had franchisees on the show, Tom, and they told us about their success, what they've gone through, and
yeah.
you know, we'll be having plenty of more of those shows.
Yeah, it's very inspirational.
Yeah, I think it'll be great for you guys to do that kind of stuff because...
Right.
And so what, you know, and it makes me ask the question, which you asked before, what separates the guy who does great and the guy who doesn't do great? And I think it's just a vision of what you want to do.
It's true. Right, seeing the big picture, and yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, you're probably a big believer. Excuse me, Marty. I was just going to ask Tom, big believer in goals and being driven. And we've talked to people where that's so important to have goals and write them down and follow a system. I guess whatever system you have, to just stay the course, never give up, never be satisfied. I guess that's all the stuff you're a big believer in, of course.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
A goal is just a dream with a date on it. So, you know, dream big, put a date on it. I tell my candidates all the time. You know, people say to me, "Well, I want financial freedom. You know, I want to be financially independent." Okay, what does that really mean to you?
Right.
Well, that means, you know, I want to have a house, in the Bahamas. I want to have a tiki hut in my yard, you know, looking over the ocean. So, okay, when do you want to do that by?
Exactly.
We can do that by, you know, do it by 2015. Put a date on it now, so at least you know what you're working toward. And I think that makes a big, big, big difference. And there's, I'm not going to get into all of it now, but there's been studies that people who have written down their goals succeed and meet those goals 98% of the time, as opposed to those who don't write down their goals.
Yeah, it really is incredible. Something so simple as just taking a pen to the paper, Tom, you know, and just putting it down, you know. And we had Michael Gerber on our show. Actually, it's twice, right, Don, at this point? And he has a similar concept, Tom. He's created this whole thing. It's called In the Dreaming Room, you know, and you actually go into this room for 2 days, and he teaches you to dream big, as you were just saying. And it sounds a lot like Michael Gerber as you were talking, you know. And what it does is I think it excites you, you know. I mean, knowing that all these wonderful things are going to happen to you, you know. So it is so important.
It's so funny. I have Michael's latest book on my desk right now, The E-Myth Mastery, with a picture of both of us together at a conference that we did.
Wow. He's fantastic, isn't he? He's just he's really wonderful.
Man, I love to hear him speak because he is no holds barred, man. He is out
there.
He
is. He'll say anything on the show, too. He's just, he really is. He's something. I think, when we had him on the show, I think Don and I both walked away inspired for, was it several weeks, Don, probably? Just pumped up just after talking.
Oh, yeah. I'm Mr. Salesman on high octane for the next week at least.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I just want to ask you, Tom, in a down economy, let's see, you see more people investing in some of the smaller franchises as opposed to, you know, your average investment times, type of franchise. Is that what's been going on? You've seen more of the smaller investments?
Absolutely, and that's what I've been trying to bring to the table for my candidates. Stuff that's, you know, service-based, you're in for $100,000 or less, you hit the ground running cash flow almost immediately after you get out of training. That is the kind of stuff that's making sense right now. And people say, so, you know, what does that mean, you know, recession-resistant, technology-resistant? You think about, you know, glass replacement. You know, if your windshield is cracked on your car, how can you get an inspection sticker when the time is up? You got to get it replaced. It doesn't matter how much cash you have. You're going to put it on a credit card. That's recession-proof business.
Right.
That's interesting, yeah.
What's been the most interesting thing that's happened to you, Tom, since getting into all this, the consulting? Has there been one story that stands out? I'm sure there's a lot of them, but... That was a tough question, by the way, for our guest.
Yeah.
You know, to think of one thing that, you know, is the most interesting thing.
That is a tough question. I think probably just looking back about where I was and then where I've come in eight short years.
Right.
I get one of the most outstanding things that I've done was the opportunity to walk on fire with some motivational speaker guys.
Wow, that's really something.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I have pictures of it in my office. And
so like Anthony Robbins kind of thing? Yeah, that's amazing. And he's great, too. He had this great phrase. I remember reading one of his books, Tom, and he said that most people overestimate what they can do in a year and underestimate what they can do in 10 years. And as you said, that it kind of made me think of Anthony Robbins. You know, it sounds very similar, you know, and what you've accomplished in 8 years is really quite incredible, you know, so it's living proof, you know. That's fantastic.
What's your thoughts, Tom, on the growth of franchising right now? And, you know, Marty and I on the show, we go over a lot of statistics and the economy being down and a lot of different industries down and franchising as a whole, the numbers are up. But what's your thoughts on it?
Well, it's, you know, I tell my candidates all the time, you know, there's more than 3,000 franchise concepts in spanning 75 different industries.
That's
so you can get into something you would never have thought of in a million years. But let's make sure that it makes sense, you know, for you. And there's a lot of very cool stuff. There's a lot of great stuff. But I try to tell people not to get involved or not think about the stuff that is, you know, fancy schmancy and here today, gone tomorrow. So the expansiveness of the industry is encouraging. When I was at the, you know, IFA conference and I'm listening to Mr. Shea talk about how the, you know, the economic impact of franchising in a nation is astronomical. We're responsible for 10% of the, you know, economic output in the United States. I mean, that is incredible numbers when you think about it. So I'm encouraged to buy it. I think that it makes sense. I don't know if you guys have talked about it yet, but like in California, they're trying to discourage franchises from opening up in L.A. County and downtown Los Angeles. I think this is something that needs to be spoken about very quickly because I think it really will hurt people that use the services in the area. I think it's very narrow-minded thinking. So as we're expanding, you know, globally, we're shrinking in little markets and as important as L.A., and I just heard that New York is kind of talking about the same thing now after L.A. has passed this law where you can't open a fast food franchise in L.A. proper.
That's scary,
It's kind of silly and short of saying stupid. But
right, sure.
I'm surprised that law even passed.
I
just don't understand it. It's against what America is for.
And it's just, you know, people don't understand franchising and the government, you know, think, oh, you know, it's not the right thing to do. It's, you know, give the small entrepreneur a chance. And the fact of the matter is the mom-and-pop entrepreneur ends up failing more often than not, and the franchise doesn't. So you got to wake up and, you know, look at the statistics
That's
here.
That's right, exactly.
Give people a fair chance,
Yeah.
I was just going to ask, what does Franchoice do to approve a franchise system? I mean, you work with you know, very successful franchises, large and small investment. What's the process that'll be an approved concept with your company, Tom?
Well, I don't do that process. That's done with the home office in Minneapolis, but I know it's a six-month type of process that a franchisor has to go through. And, you know, we look for things such as things that the layman wouldn't know to look for. Like, we would like to see at least one franchise support person in the home office for every seven or so in the field, seven or so franchisees in the field. So we want to make sure that, you know, you got great support, great training, you know, no litigation in the FDD. We want to know that there's a good sales team and they can handle the onslaught of candidates that we're going to throw at them. That's a big thing. We do secret shopping. We'll do validation calls. We'll secretly call to franchise owners as I encourage all my candidates to do as well through the process, and you know, get the franchisee on the phone and ask very pointed questions about the support they're receiving and are they getting the support that the franchisor says they're going to give in their, you know, glossy brochures.
Right, so there's a whole lot involved there, so that when it is an approved concept, you're speaking to a client or potential franchisee, there's really no negatives, except for maybe it might be a newer system. Is there a certain amount of franchisees that you want in the system before you might work with that franchise?
Yeah, we do want to see certain numbers, but
yeah.
Every once in a while we will take on something that's brand spanking new, mm-hmm. but it's because of the management team that is in that concept that has taken it on. And, you know, franchising is a small industry, so we know who's who
right.
and who is really,
sure.
You know, running the concept. And it's funny because a lot of people boast that they have, you know, the CEO of some big Fortune 500 company come over and take a franchise and run the franchise. And that's we don't see that as a great thing, or at least I don't. I think that you want somebody from the franchise industry who has taken, you know, a fledgling concept and grew it into hundreds of units, and now they're going on to the next to do the same. So we put a lot of weight behind who's running the franchise.
That's great.
Good. That was a very good question, wasn't it, Tom?
It was a good question. Tom, we have about 30 seconds. What's the best way to get more information on your services? I know you have a couple of different websites and phone numbers. And
I'll give you a phone number. It's a toll-free number, which is 866-545-6191. Or my personal website is tom@tomscarda.com. That's T-O-M-S-C-A-R-D as in David A.com. And I could be contacted there for any type of questions, whether franchised or not.
Okay, that's fantastic. And we actually have a link up on our show page as well for that too, Tom. So our listeners can actually click that and get more information right away. And I want to thank you again, Tom. You definitely motivated Don and I this morning. You know, we were both excited to finally have you on the show. You know, we've been plugging the show for a while, and we definitely would love to have you back in the very near future.
Well,
I'm sure, Tom, you might write a book in the future maybe,
yeah.
Tom, right?
I have already put pen to paper.
Wow, that's
wow,
fantastic.
Okay,
that's terrific. Yeah, congrats on that. So
have a nice rest of the
yeah.
summer, Tom. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks again, Tom.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
No
Our
problem.
Pleasure. Great show, huh, Don?
Thank
yeah.
you.
Great show. It was just, you know, very motivational. And we knew he was going to be fantastic. Anyway, you know, I mean, just great personality. You can see why he was, you know, so successful doing what he did, you know. So you'd love to hear those stories. I'd definitely love to have him back. So for our listeners, I think – you still there, Don?
Yes.
Okay, I thought I lost you. But anyway, what else? For our listeners, go to our website, franchiseinterviews.com. And what else, Don? GoFranchise.com.
Franchise.com to get information. Also franchisefunding.net. People want to get pre-qualified for financing.
Absolutely.
Thinking investing in a franchise, you know, so we'd be happy to speak to you. And, you know, have a good rest of the day, Marty.
You too, Don. Talk to you soon.
Take
care. Bye-bye.